views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
If it was actually heaven for He-Man, then you would think that they would have some villains or somebody to fight on a regular basis. These are all champions of fighting.
There's a lot of testosterone just sitting there.
And they're like, you're in heaven now. Nobody fight. If you got King Shark rolling and being like, muscle babies are num-num, then you'd be good to go.
Stop eating the champions. Stop it. I mean, King Shark would fit in perfectly, though, with like all the He-Man characters. Because, again, we have a giant B-Man. We have, King Shark could just be from Masters of the Universe.
And also the naming of that character is just as lazy as all the naming of characters in He-Man.
I know, they're referencing Buzz Off. I'm sorry.
Well, that's not his real name either, though.
Oh, King Shark. Is Nanaway?
Yeah.
Nanaway, yeah.
Nanaway?
Yeah.
But
he's King Shark.
I really appreciated it in Suicide Squad that instead of just being King Shark the entire time, they actually called him by his
name,
his name the whole time.
When they got out of the water and walking on shore, whatever was on the shore, I don't know what it was, formed his name.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Well, that's
all you could see of it.
Utilized during the entirety of Suicide Squad, they incorporated the environment to inform the next sequence that was
just
about
so,
to happen.
So Scott Pilgrim, I love that
it's
shit.
Very Scott Pilgrim, absolutely. And I was fucking here for it. It was a little bit jarring at first when it first came out because I'm like, is this something that they see? That
we gotta go to the next. This is 2 days prior. Like,
the next day. Yeah. Like, what? Is there a narrator that's on the Suicide Squad? Is there narrator as one of the.
No, now we're back to Masters of the Universe.
Right. But I thought it was a brilliant use of the environment to inform that this is a comic book movie. It was treated, there was plenty of meanwhile.
Oh,
basically,
yeah.
Between the scenes.
Yeah, the one that had the scrap metal on the roof is one I'll be looking at a bunch of different times. A remarkable shot. I'm still in awe of how the various pieces of metal in the foreground came together to explain where the story was going.
And then as the camera moved forward, it broke apart, and it was all elements on the roof that just happened to form it in that perspective. That was really smart. And the red cameras that they use, they are so tiny. They're the tiny little cameras that are on gyroscope, and they shot it entirely with the red cameras.
Oh, really?
Is why there's no static shots in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
For Suicide Squad, you need kinetic action at all
points. James Gunn. I mean, he's now done enough of these. He knows what he's doing. My interest in seeing Suicide Squad was literally James Gunn.
Yeah.
There was no, oh, good, they're going to make this one better than the shitty first one. I didn't give two shits. James Gunn getting to do what he wants, Suicide Squad, rated R, I'm like, I'm fucking in. And before he started really getting into directing, I mean, fuck, one of my favorite remakes, Dawn of the Dead.
Yep.
Fucking James Gunn wrote that script.
Which is so funny that James Gunn is kind of informing what happens after the Snyderverse, and he and Snyder worked on Dawn of the Dead together.
Yeah. That is kind of funny. I didn't think about that.
That he was sitting in a seat with his little fucking pen and rewriting scenes during Dawn of the Dead while Zack Snyder's like, I don't know, maybe more slow-mo. And he had to work with Snyder as the director, as a writer. And then years later, he's taking over, to a degree, the tone of what's going to happen in the...
He made the good DC movie. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fucking...
Because I'll be honest, I doubt he gave two shits about the direction of the Snyderverse or anything like that. Warner Brothers just came to him and said, you can do whatever you want. You can make it rated R. Here's all the characters. We don't give a fuck what happens to them. And that's all he needed. I don't need to watch anything prior to this.
Yeah, because the original Suicide Squad tried to tie in the Snyderverse.
It did.
Yeah. And there was none of that.
Even in his interviews, he's so more flippant because he's done two Guardians movies. He's been involved in Infinity War and Endgame to a degree and producing on that. And then Suicide Squad. So he's done a bunch of superhero movies at this point, including Super.
Yep.
And at this point, he gives no fucks anymore.
I just get a kick out of the fact that Warner Brothers jumped on Marvel, overreacting to some shit and said, oh, so you're not doing Guardians 3. What do you want? We'll give you whatever. You can do whatever you want. And and now motherfucker's on top. You got to do a Suicide Squad movie, and now he's back to Guardians 3.
But that's what we're going to be talking about on this episode is Suicide Squad, the Suicide Squad?
The Suicide Squad.
Just to differentiate.
Yeah.
We're talking about the 2021 James Gunn-directed Suicide Squad movie. We're going to get into the spoilers and all the weird shit that happens in this movie on this episode of Geeks on the Influence, episode 220. Welcome.
Zombies at work, and shall be again. A changing of the guards, the tides marching in. You think you can hold out, but you know you're wrong, so you better join us now. You better do it fast, or you will be dead. Fly, nom, nom, the gun, this is part of us, the dead. You play to take...
Woo!
Nom, nom.
Nom, noms.
Nom, noms.
Nom, noms. The...
Oh,
the fact that I did not know that that was voiced by Sylvester Stallone until I said, that sounds like Sylvester Stallone, who is voicing King Shark. It can't be Sylvester Stallone. And looked it up and went, fuck me, that's actually Sylvester Stallone.
He's in the credits at the beginning. Like,
I was busy making fucking eyes at my girl. Like,
you were busy on your phone.
Probably.
Yeah. Steve was really good at picking out the words, the letters, and stuff.
I watched the movie. I don't let myself distract
from like,
the movie.
We're like, look at all the blood. And you're like, did you see that shit in the background? Yeah, we're just slack. Yeah, yeah. Sorry. I get distracted by birds.
It literally says, and Sylvester Stallone.
I get distracted by little birds eating bit parts of a human. Sorry.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking about the shit in the background, let's talk about our panel a little bit. That's a terrible segue. I'm sorry, guys. That's so mean.
The intro was really good segue. That was very
so mean. delightful panelists that are here to talk about Suicide Squad. First up, of course,
not delightful.
A regular panelist on GUI and a dear friend, Mike Reiser, is here.
Hey, everybody.
One that talks like a radio DJ all the time. All the time.
All right.
No matter what.
Live every morning like it's drive time. That's what I say.
Then, of course, we have the gentleman that is the co-host of literally everything on the show besides this show.
And Geek Fathers.
And Geek Fathers.
Not anymore.
We've got the chameleon of GUI that is able to work his tentacles into...
Oh, yes.
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 I will make them all mine. It's
turning weird already.
Got Fuck You Hunter is here.
What's up, bitches?
From the Mouths of Madness and Beautiful Disasters.
Yes.
Primarily. Probably three more shows that you
We're working on it.
Ugh, how much time do you have? Jesus.
Yeah, now I'm back at work, not as much. God damn it. Stupid work.
Work. Fucking work.
Then, of course, is my cohort, the one that helps me run this network and co-host the show with me. We've got Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's going on, everybody?
From the Mouths of Madness, GUI Nights, Geeks of the Influence, also a very busy man.
Mm-mm, yes. Yeah, no, I'm stoked to talk about this movie. I actually just watched it between last night and today.
Wow.
I watched this movie and I immediately thought that Bloodsport, Idris Elba's character in this, I went, Steven's probably sitting there and be like, see, he gets it. No patience for any bullshit whatsoever. Things are happening and his response to most anything is just like, Jesus Christ.
Yep, that's that was
over it. Everybody is going so cartoony with their shit. There's Polka Dot Man. There's a fucking shark guy. There's a chick that controls rats.
And Bloodsport's and like, fuck me.
Bloodsport's like, I got like nanotech guns. I don't have patience for this bullshit, which made it perfect.
Yeah. In my mind, there was no one else better to play that than Alba. I mean, he's
a fucking man.
I've been a fan of him. Like, and I preach this to everybody. I've been a fan of him since The Wire and all, like, two. When season one came out, or 03, and I've been a fan ever since. So, like, just seeing where he's come and how far he's moved, and not even to mention his DJ shit. He DJs his giant festivals.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, that dude is, like, just awesome.
I still think he's trying to get in every franchise as possible, because I forgot he's in Prometheus, or Covenant. Yeah, so literally...
He's in Covenant, he's in DC, he's in Marvel.
He's the motherfucker Fast and Furious. That dude is at his foot in everything.
He's not a Fast and Furious. Don't disgrace him.
Yes, he is. He's in Hobbs and Shaw.
That's not Fast and
Fast
Furious.
Fast and Furious presents.
Hobbs and Shaw is superior.
It's part
too
of the,
Fast and the Furious.
Extended, the FFEU.
It's the cousin that only shows up to brag about how much he succeeded in life. That's Hobbs and Shaw. Fast and the Furious is the fucking addict that just got out of fucking rehab.
I was
thinking about shooting up again.
I just realized right? that Hobbs and Shaw, if two. You're doing the Fast and the Furious extended universe, that translates to fear you.
Oh, man.
Perfect. All right.
Last but not least on this panel, and I mean, you're on every episode. The man who runs this shit, and you run... Your co-host on Deeply Upsetting.
Yep.
You also run a fun-filled...
Fan-casting show.
Fan-casting, yeah. That's a good way to put it. Smack my pitch up. Like, that's just a fun It's fun to think of your own, create your own movie show.
If you could create your own movie where budget or talent as a producer was not part of the game.
Budget to get the talent.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Budget
yeah,
to
yeah.
get the talent. Yeah.
Then whee!
Yeah, no, it's awesome because it's a show that really I think amplifies actors that you know could handle this property from what you've seen because you have to pay attention to what they've done before.
It's surprisingly not always casted with Jay Baruchel. Like it is.
It's tough sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes for
because
sure,
you realize his actual acting prowess. Anyway, that is this is Mike the Hobbit Bickett we're talking about here.
Yes.
Yes.
So no, Jay Baruchel is Conan the Barbarian. You haven't tried to sell that?
I would fucking watch that
movie. He could have been, instead of Sean Gunn, he could have been the CGI mocap dude for the Weasel. He would have been great for that.
Just put glue some hair on him.
Mike the Hobbit Bickett, A1 number one super fan of Jay Baruchel and your host of this podcast. Check out goipodcast.com for links to all the shows on the network as well as this show. Links to our social media. Converse with us. Have a good time and join the family of GUI and tell your friends for sure. Before we get into anything else with Suicide Squad things, first off is that the panelists, we need to hold our cups up because we've got to toast the passing of a true comedic genius. Trevor Moore has left this mortal coil, and it's painful. I've been a huge fan of White as Kids You Know since they came out. He is from Virginia, from the Charlottesville area. And
he's close to you.
Yeah, like I lived in the Shenandoah Valley for a while and then moved to Richmond, so I was...
You technically grew up in the same area. Waynesboro, Charlottesville. It's not much, you know, going difference as far as that.
And Roger, you got the chance to meet him, right?
Yeah, I first met him as a teenager because I also grew up in the Charlottesville area, and he was an absolute legend of comedy there, making prank phone calls to my friends and neighbors on public access late at night, and then watching his meteoric rise to go first to Saturday Night Live and then onward to better things, to his White as Kids You Know. I saw them at the Aspen Comedy Festival right before they got signed. Absolutely very nice guy every time I came across him.
That's amazing. And I think in the last year or so, the White as Kids You Know uploaded a lot of their sketches to YouTube.
Yeah, because it's not streaming anywhere.
It's not streaming anywhere. So I have the first season on the DVD.
So it's kind of like Funny or Die, where everything's on YouTube.
He actually did a lot of stuff with Funny or Die and a couple other like well-known sketch comedy things as well.
They were putting College Humor on.
College Humor, yeah. He did a lot of with
College Humor.
But you can find full episodes. Like, it's not just the sketches. I mean, literally full episodes
just
on YouTube.
Just YouTube, White as Kids You Know. If you're unfamiliar with Trevor Moore, he was fucking fantastic. And he was definitely the leader of the White as Kids You Know. Like, they were so funny. The fucking whale dick on the head bit. Like, there's so much. There's so fucking much.
Friend.
Nom nom.
Nom nom. Would you eat a friend? I have no friend.
I have no friend. Oh my God, dude.
Okay, I'm sorry, dude.
That is the best way to get into it.
Can we lead into that?
Yeah, for sure.
I wanted to cry at most of King Shark's scenes, dude. I felt so bad for him. Like, and I know there was an intelligence level thing that they made adamant with Waller early in the film.
Hand.
You know, he's reading upside down. He's like, oh, it's such a good book. He loved this book. I'm like, okay, I get it. But like, as the movie goes on, he's either like getting fussed at by somebody in the group that is supposed to be his team. He's left out in the fucking van where everyone else is in the club drinking their ass off.
My heart.
When he's sitting in the fucking van.
He's picking his teeth.
He's trying to get
like
a disguise.
Popping his head. And he got so angry, but I get it because he wanted to mingle and be in it, and he like puts his finger up and like he gets shot down. He's like, fuck God. He's so angry. Like, I get it though, man.
The A number one thing that I have an issue with Suicide Squad, the hands down number one thing that I'm so pissed about, is the fact that it was suggested that King Shark was going to have a fake mustache and a disguise to go into a place. And the fact that it wasn't delivered on, he did like the finger over, but
it got shot down.
It didn't even have the Sharpie fucking mustache on it. It was just his finger, and then Peacemaker's like, worst disguise I've ever seen, and that's the end of it. Fuck you. I want to see the big ridiculous, like, all it takes is somebody that has like, I don't know, like a fucking food cart that is like dressed in a costume, and he's just like, mustache, and puts it on. That's all I fucking need. I will not rest until I see King Shark with a fake mustache and I don't know, maybe a fucking wig trying to pass off as a person. I
need
that
for the deleted scenes.
Fucking life.
And see, like, if that had happened, it would have made it actually so much better. But the fact that they said that, and then he got so, like, upset, I'm like, oh, buddy. Like, I literally just wanted to give him a hug. He might have eaten my head. I don't know. But I just wanted to hug King Shark the whole time. He gets, like, the shit end of the stick the entire fucking movie. Even when he, like, makes a little C4.
Oh, my God.
Like,
God.
Peacemaker. Yeah. Come on, man. It was so adorable. And Peacemaker is the only first one to say, like, it was very sweet. But
even made Peacemaker be like, okay, that's really nice.
But up to that point, everyone had yelled at him. Everyone had fucking yelled at him.
I murder children, but that is really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, the movie has an absurd amount of animal cruelty. It opens with it, but the cruelest of all is everything done to the shark. Even when he makes friends with fish, they're not friends at all.
You know, he's happy. He's like, oh, friends. And he's running with him and laughing. First time you've seen him laugh. And then they fucking started to eat him. I'm like, this is fucked up, dude.
Well, and that's why I really loved that they pulled in Ratcatcher 2, where she, you know, she has an appreciation for the smaller animals. And that one line with her and her dad at the end of it, where they talk about, like, if they're the lowest creatures and if they have...
Well, at the very end, yeah.
Purpose. Then... All of us do. Oh, God. Fucking
what a beautiful thing
shit.
To tell your child, too. Like, literally, to tell your child, like, no, yeah. if even the lowest thing has purpose,
yeah.
then everyone's got purpose. That's a beautiful thing to tell your
Did
child.
You see
it really is.
How she reacts to everybody on the team, not just Nanoe.
When she's awake?
When she's awake.
Fucking A, man.
What a sleeper.
She's like the college girlfriend that just sleeps 14 hours a day.
Fucking millennials.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do not like that. That is a miss... I don't know what the word, but that is a miss, whatever, for millennials, because fuck that. Technically, we all fall into the category of millennials.
Dude, millennials are 40 now. That doesn't count anymore.
Exactly. Yeah, but fuck that.
But no, the fact that the way she approaches everybody on the team is with kindness and sweetness, and even to the point where the reason she's in there is that she was trying to, like, coyly steal money from a bank. With her rats,
yeah.
and she got caught, and they're like, yeah, they registered my rats as a lethal weapon, yeah. so I ended up in fucking Blackgate or whatever the fuck it is. But the balance between King Shark and her is why both of them work in this movie, is because you see the kindness of King Shark, and then one of the characters that is clearly the heart of this team,
oh, yeah.
Being able to, like, coexist in a way that they're the ones that aren't the top three. There you got Bloodsport, Peacemaker, and
Harley.
Yeah. as being
well,
the big...
Well, no, okay, bullshit RoboCop. He was big, too. He played RoboCop in the remake.
Oh, Rick.
Oh, Rick Flag.
Rick Flag, yeah.
God damn it, I forgot he was in that
yeah.
fucking
yeah.
movie.
Yeah, no,
those three are the big three, Rick Flag, Bloodsport, and Peacemaker. Yeah. And then there's Ratcatcher, who ends up being the biggest hero of the fucking day.
She's the one, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah.
You know, you see the names on, or who's going to be in this movie, and there was one I was like, where is he going to show up? And then they do the flashback for Ratcatcher, and I was like, oh shit. Like, they talked fucking,
Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And playing the junkie dad, I was like, amazing. Like,
yeah.
And he agreed to that. He's like, I'll shoot it up.
Hard early in the movie, too, where you see, like, a needle in his veins. And
yeah, they're on a fucking bus
shit.
Ride, and she's like, they're like flashbacks of literally shooting up. I'm like, I'm
she's
not
like,
comfortable.
I love my junkie dad.
I just was a little caught off because I was waiting for, you know, oh, which Suicide Squad member is he going to be, or is he became? Nope, the junkie dad.
Junkie dad.
Yeah.
Junkie dad.
But he had one of the greatest scenes in the whole film.
Oh, yeah.
As we just talked about at the end. That was literally, to me, one of the greatest scenes in the film. I thought that was a beautiful scene. But I was going to say with Ratcatcher 2, she agreeing with Hobbit, she was the heart because, like, as short of a time as she knew everybody on the team, it broke her heart every time they died. They made a point of showing her, like, breaking every time the realization mm-hmm. of losing one of the teammates set in. And that added the lividity to it, I thought, where it wasn't just like, you know, if it had been Bloodsport or Peacemaker, it's like, oh, yeah, it's part of the job. Like, she's like, no, I'm going to feel for this fucking soul. It was, it fought with us and now it's gone. And she really did that.
There were two things in Suicide Squad that I needed to happen, and one of it was that, I mean, a lot of people die. There was literally one person died from the Suicide Squad in the first movie, and I'm not talking Enchantress, because she, like, was never really part of the Suicide Squad. That doesn't fucking count.
Let's not talk about that first one at all.
But yeah, like, fucking Slipknot's the only person that dies in the first movie. And they're like, yeah, Suicide Squad, where most people live. Yeah, fuck off. This movie, out the gate, everybody dies. And I'm like, cool. That's all I needed from a Suicide Squad movie. That's what I expected from James Gunn, that he knows a lot of body count needs to happen, even with the heroes. He stacked the deck with fucking Pete Davidson, with Michael Rooker.
Just threw you off
Nathan
the set, yeah.
With Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Like, he fully set it up where nobody is safe.
Wait, so which one was Nathan Fillion?
He was our, TDK.
Yeah, TDK. Yep.
He was the,
holy shit, that which, was
yeah,
him.
That was him.
Because all you
yeah.
see is his mouth. But no, that's fucking
yeah, TDK. Which, when that shit happened, like, everybody's got their stuff. They're taking out people, and then his arms come off. I was like, and the soldiers stop what they're doing.
As his arms fly through them, it's
and
so ridiculous.
And they're
just,
like, trying to slap, and they're like, really?
It was like
really?
A fucking Three Stooges.
Yeah. He's literally just trying to smack him in the face.
They're just, like, in amazement. Like, is this supposed to do something? Like, they were so confused as to...
What does TDK mean? Well, that's one of the greatest lines where the boomerang was just like, all names are letters. I'm like, that, okay, yeah. Okay, that was good.
That's based on a character called, like, Arms Fall Off Guy or something.
Yeah.
It was totally a joke character, and that's not actually a real DC character. It was an homage to a clearly fucking terrible character.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. But
the second part, and Ratcatcher is very much a part of this, is that these are all characters that have felt, like, removed from society, felt like they were loners, like they didn't have a clan, they didn't have a family, they were alone in the world. You've got King Shark, who might be the descendant of a shark god, you don't know. They mention that, but you're not sure. You've got, like, a chick whose dad died of heroin and she controls rats. You've got a dude that it believes in peace so much that he's murdered everybody around him.
God.
You've got...
Can we just give John Cena props for
that? No shit.
Way better than Fast 9.
Way
dude.
Better. He leaned into it so
super hard. And apparently now James Gunn and him are, like, incredibly good friends.
Well, not only that, but
they're doing
end
the
credit scene, yeah, to set up. He's already, you know, working on the Peacemaker
March
one.
2022, I think, is when that's supposed to come out. And the Peacemaker series on HBO.
I
what?
Yeah, because they enjoyed working together so much that James Gunn was like, hey, do you mind if I do, like, a Peacemaker series on HBO? And Warner Brothers was like, that's fine. And so they just liked working together. They had a blast. So
that's awesome.
That also means
that
Guardians 3, you very might see John Cena come in.
I knew I was going to enjoy John Cena when they're talking at the beach and fucking Bloodshot's like, eat a bag of dicks. And
even John, the beach was lined with dicks.
Peacemaker leaned into it. He's like, if there was dicks everywhere, I'd eat them all for, you know, to keep peace.
In America.
Like,
woo.
And I was like, okay, I'm fucking in. Like, that was amazing. And James Gunn was like, you need to say, put dicks everywhere, I'll eat it. And John Cena's like, good to go, man.
Well, I love they made him, like, the hyper-nationalistic character without putting a fucking red hat on him.
But he's,
you know,
he looks the most
ridiculous.
He's like,
I mean, I'll suck a dick if it means freedom.
Looks like a toilet. It's a beacon of hope.
He looked the most ridiculous of everybody there besides Polka Dot Man. Come on.
The majority of these characters by the end of the movie, the ones that are left, they end up feeling a sense of family with these other people that they went through that you even see with Captain Boomerang early on where Harley comes onto the plane, and he's like, Harley, did you get yourself arrested again? And there's this, like, this friendly kind of interaction between them where they're like, oh, what's up, Boomer? And they're they're really kind, and they have that element. And by the end of it, I mean, they all have a sense of family with one another because they went through the shit together.
Yeah.
And they even brought up, this is one of the early ties, you know, everything that tied in the original
that shall not be named.
Yeah, the thing that shall not be named.
Yeah.
It's just like, was
this that, is the Suicide
Squad, exactly.
The
interaction between, or the look between Boomer and Harley right before he eats it was awesome, because he, like, they were like, no, and, like, he looks up and, like, gives a little grin and, like, gets obliterated by the fallen
and
helicopter.
Like, Boomer! Like,
yeah, it was awesome.
Genuinely, not crazy Harley affected, like, interpersonally affected.
Exactly.
By that.
I love how you have all these characters, and then he goes, all right, are you ready? Task Force X. Like already setting up, like,
yeah.
This isn't even Suicide Squad. These guys are the level below that.
I also love that Harley ends up being like, oh, Javelin, like, you got a sexy fucking German accent, I'm fucking into this shit. And he's just like, I like my Javelin. Oh. And she's like, fuck, I'm gonna fuck you later for sure. And then he dies, and she's like, fuck, I was gonna fuck you.
Still got his stick, though.
I was gonna fuck you.
Still
so hard.
Got his stick.
When he's telling her, and he's like, do it, and dies, and she reacts as you should, like, what? God damn, what were you going to fucking
who?
Say?
Who do I do it
who?
For?
Like,
he was like, do it for? Like, who?
And those
who
are the things that James Gunn really brings out is, like, he didn't stop the action. He just threw this little bit in and then back to the killing, you know?
Yeah, the details are very well assembled. I'm genuinely not a fan of superhero origin stories. How many times do we have to see Bruce Wayne's parents die? Please stop. We all know they died.
Seriously.
This was brilliant, the way that single lines of dialogue would let you know somebody's backstory.
Yes.
100%. All it takes sometimes is just an offhand remark. No way. He might be the descendant of a fucking shark god. We don't know.
Yeah.
And then that's it. That's all you need to fucking know.
They show people things like bow to him. At the beginning, to let you know, like, he really is, like, and I bring that back up because I think that was Gunn saying, like, he really is. It's just not really going to matter later on because we're dealing with an alien.
And I want to touch a little bit on Project Starfish before we get into the first break.
I'm glad they changed the name.
Now,
Project
Starfish
is terrible.
Are we talking about buttholes or what?
Yeah, are we talking? Fuck.
Starfish is the name. Dude, that was in the trailer for
something
fuck's
about
sake.
John Cena with a gloved hand holding a little pen and writing notes, being like, nope, not buttholes. He probably wrote not buttholes on his notes after that moment. It was fucking perfect. And then hand. King Shark's like, this is my hand, and they're like, very good. Yes, yeah, it is a hand. Good for you.
Then you got me, fucking AKA Bloodlust, like, we're all gonna fucking die.
Well, yeah, because then you have Polka Dot Man
being like, oh god, I hope so.
I hope we die. Yeah,
which, oh, fucking Polka Dot Man. Also, all the intercuts of his mom.
Oh god, he's dancing at the club, dude. I lost it.
I never thought I would see a superhero movie where they inserted somebody's mom as all the characters and a fucking kaiju. All right,
and a kaiju.
I literally cried laughing when he's dancing in the club with his mom.
It's so good.
But he's
like getting on. He's like feeling himself. It's like, oh yeah.
He's in 70s garb and just like fucking hand in the air.
Saturday Night Fever, baby. Who is John Travolta at that scene? And it was ridiculous.
Like,
I loved it.
All of these, my moms want to fuck me.
Ew.
So bad.
So bad.
No, but that's the point, is that even early on, they set up, it was like, I thought you were the crazy one. He's like, oh, no. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I definitely am. And then he shows up being like, yeah.
Yeah.
So at first, you know, when they're still in the first night, when they come ashore and they are going in the woods, they said they camp here, and he had to walk off because he was getting so swolled up with his polka dots.
Yeah.
That, dude.
God
that
damn it.
I thought he said he had to release him. Like, I thought he went to, like, jerk off and just, like, shot polka dots everywhere because he was, like, hunched over. Think about it. Watch the scene.
It could be any three
options.
Watch the scene.
I'm like, holy shit, he's, like, nutting polka dots.
I guarantee, and I want to ask this question to James Gunn, that Polka Dot Man is a virgin because he was experimented on when he was a child by his mom. And so he was at a point where any kind of visceral reaction to something creates like polka dotting happening. So there was probably a high school moment where he had like a high school girlfriend and they were fucking around and he killed her. Like,
oh yeah,
she,
I'm sure.
She melted in front of his eyes.
Filled her up with polka dots.
And so his mom turned into like the mom from fucking Carrie, being like, no dirty pillows for you. And just like kept him in like in a fucking attic or somewhere. And that's where he feels like, so, man, I wish I could find somebody that would love me for me. He's the one knowing that if he fucks Bruce Banner style, like the person might die.
So yeah, like Superman style?
So, like, yeah, Bruce Banner's fucking a chick, and then he turns into the Hulk. She's being split in half by his green dick.
Or,
so,
like, Superman nuts, and, like, the womb just erupts.
Yeah, out the back of her.
Yeah.
Or Rogue.
Where she just drains the life from his cock. She literally drains him.
He also has trauma, because he brings up how, like, him and his brothers and sisters were fucking experimented on to make fucking superheroes.
It's
and
like some survived.
And some survived. You're like, God, that's some fucked up shit, man.
But through it all, he's still a nice guy and still friends with the only mere mortal on the team.
Milton, man.
Milton.
Fucking Milton. Who's Milton?
Fucking Milton.
Dude, fucking Milton.
But I love that is that this is a dude, and that pulls into what I was talking about earlier, is that there's a group of people that have never had any sense of, like, community. They've never had family. They've never had friends before. And so Polka Dot Man, he's sitting there being like, I hate my mom. And people are like, cool, that's weird, but also we've got like a shark guy, so I'm not going to spend too much time worrying about you having your uncounseled issues with your mom. Like, that's not the weirdest thing here. So he feels safe with all these people. And the fact that he was able to reach what he wanted as being an actual superhero before he died. It sucked that he died at that moment, but also he reached his precipice.
Yeah.
Technically, they had a shrink on the team in Harley. I just don't know if you really want her assisting. Yeah.
No, Joker broke that.
Yeah. I think you should go fuck your mom.
Technically, though, she has a degree.
Fucked up Freudian, no, she would say that to him.
Just go fuck her.
Just go fuck your mom.
Oh, God.
I think that's a good place to end our first half.
Fucking your mom, totally great place.
Great stop here.
Hello, listeners, and go fuck your mom.
Yeah, no shit.
Instead of fucking your mom, maybe go check out some of the other shows on the network. We're going to hit up some of those on the break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what we're drinking, do a drunken scene or two, our sponsors, and then more about the Suicide Squad.
There you go.
On this episode. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as, what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIpodcast.com.
In a world ravaged by movie studios that keep rehashing the same things, only one podcaster has the guts to make it even worse. Join Mike the Hobbit as he traverses the internet to bring you some of the best and worst ideas for reboots, remakes, and reimaginings of some of your favorite and least favorite TV and film properties. Ideas like a John Waters He-Man movie, Fantastic Four the musical, and Aliens done entirely with marionettes. What podcast would bring this evil upon the world? This is Smack My Pitch Up. Available anywhere you get your podcasts.
We're back for the second half of Geeks Under the Influence, all things The Suicide Squad. But before we get into that, let's talk about our sponsors a little bit. First off, of course, is Amazon.com, the place you go for all the ins and outs of your life, whether it be unfortunately buying the first Suicide Squad movie, or maybe it's comic books about the Suicide Squad, or Assault on Arkham, which is a very good animated
Suicide Squad animated movie is actually
pretty good.
Solid.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's awesome. I fucking love Assault on Arkham.
Well, I'm not even talking about Assault. I'm talking about the next one they did.
Hell to Pay?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Is pretty much almost like I would say the inspiration for the James Gunn movie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're into the animated stuff, definitely check those out. But if you do that, make sure you go through the link at GUIpodcast.com on the front page or on our links page. That will send you to Amazon and we'll get credit for anything that you purchase. So instead of sending Bezos to space again, okay, you might still, but you're going to...
Permanently? Can we send him permanently? Get the funds together? You're a space guy now.
I will set up a GoFundMe for that. But
you can stay on the moon the entire time.
Some of your purchases, some of that money will be coming to Geeks on the Influence instead. So at least some of that blood money is going to GUI instead. So that's one way to support us. The better way to support us, of course, is TeePublic.
Boom!
TeePublic!
Hey.
We've got a new design from GUI on there from our He-Man episode that has like an electric
fucking
background.
Badass.
Very cool.
It's a really good design.
I'm very really stoked on how cartoony the logo came out. It came out very He-Man looking.
Yeah, no, it's really good.
Yeah. I'm hoping Hobbit's gonna get one so then I can see that logo instead of giant ass Stanley Tucci staring at me while we're recording, which is so fucking distracting. Sorry.
I'm currently wearing one of the other designs on TeePublic, which is the Tucci Gang t-shirt.
I still don't understand why that's a shirt.
I really don't.
It was mentioned multiple times on Deeply Upsetting, but it's that Stanley Tucci is the tooch to the nooch. He is the
Fucking badass.
He's a badass.
Yeah,
I mean, he's been in a million movies. Exactly. So we're not turning this into a tooch episode, but
tooch.
Just the shirt's very distracting because he's just staring at me the entire time.
That's fair. Yeah, because the way I'm actually yeah. angled.
You're usually getting, I never comment on this shit. Sorry.
You're stared down by the tooch.
It really is to that.
Wow. Okay. So if you want to upset Hunter and get some Stanley Tucci action in your life, or any of the close to 40 designs available on our TeePublic page, just go to GUIpodcast.com/store or GUIpodcast.com and click on the store link. That'll send you right to our TeePublic page where there's close to 40 designs from all the different shows in the network. Fun, insightful joke shirts from the different shows. We've got like a Never Nude Doc Manhattan. We've got a Shut the Fuck Up Hobbit t-shirt. We've got the new He-Man design. We've got the Tooch as well. So plenty of stuff to choose from. And that's the best way to support the network. So,
ooh, we got some designs getting ready to pop back up too.
Very soon, probably at the end of this month, we're going to be releasing the limited run stuff that we only release around the Halloween season. That will put us well over closer. 40.
There's the two things I wait for. Those shirts go back on TeePublic and Spirit. That tells me we are approaching.
Yeah, I went by Spirit and it said we are hiring. I was like, ooh.
Oh, I'm so excited.
It's back, y'all.
It's back.
Yeah, I keep checking the site to see when they are.
Like, we don't do holiday special stuff, but we do fucking Halloween like a motherfucker. Oh, God, so, damn it. Yeah. Check that out. Check out TeePublic and hold on because we're going to be doing some Halloween shit. Now on to the next segment, which really talks about what we're drinking.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
Hey.
Yeah.
So what we're drinking, we've got one share tonight that I was bringing to the panel. I was trying to remember the name of it, but besides Suicide Squad, they're like, yeah, that's not actually the official title of the team. It's
Task Force X.
Task Force X. So
those are all the motherfuckers get killed.
In honor of that, we've got from Ardent, so very East Coast local, like Richmond specific. We've got Ardent's IPAX as an option for us, keeping in theme and locally as well. I will say, well, here's the thing. I'm very picky with IPAs. This isn't ruining my life like some IPAs do, where it's so hop heavy that I can't handle it. I could drink this. It's not something I would order myself necessarily. It's just okay.
Yeah.
I would say, this is the first team on Suicide Squad.
it's fitting.
It gets annihilated. Yeah. This is a meh.
Like, you're excited to meet them. Like, it's not a bad time. You're really excited to see their interpersonal relationships and stuff. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter to the plot. That's
how's the lowdown feel about it?
Given my pensions where I like IPAs,
yeah.
This would not be my go-to for a low ABV IPA. That is, if I were to go to support local in Richmond, that's what I'm going to say.
Sometimes I get entertained by watching when Hobbit will introduce things and you hate it and talk down to it. So I was kind of hoping for that.
I won't do that
like,
with a local business, though.
Yeah, I know.
I've never done that. I won't do that
with
a local business.
It's one of the entertaining things, because when y'all both like it, I'm kind of disappointed.
Well,
so.
I would say with IPAX, the best way that I can approach this is that there's nothing bad about this beer.
Yeah.
It's sessionable.
There's not.
It's not so hop heavy that it's going to ruin your life after one beer. So you could have probably multiple and be okay. It's not as fruit focused as I like my IPAs, but I like that lighter.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, bitch. Yeah. That's right.
You have brought that shit
in. That's right.
At level, but this is more that like this is more that
more traditional West Coast
style on with it. But it's not heavy-handed. It's not like a Dogfish Head kind of approach to the heavy-handed.
And you know what's crazy is it has the only two hops that are listed on the can are the two like staples now for the style of IPA that I bring here from other places.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, these two hops,
Citra and Mosaic. Yeah,
yeah, they are like made to be married in a celestial, like.
And granted, this isn't as heavy as some of the IPAs as far as ABV.
No, but I mean, there are places
a 7.1, which is not you know.
You know what else is a 7.1 that has Falcon Smash, and that is local too. And it like curb stomps this
beer. Yeah,
but
it's also like, you know, I like Coca-Cola, but I'll drink Pepsi in a bind.
No, that is not accurate. Like, no, Falcon Smash compared to this is like this. It curb stomps this beer.
All right, good.
Sorry,
I'm saying like
you gotta have
some versatility there as far as like I like a lot of stouts, but that doesn't mean that I pick the best stout and that's all I drink. That I would say if you have IPAX, you're not going to have a bad time. It's fine.
No, and I didn't mean that.
It's perfectly fine.
It's just it's, what you know it's and what you love,
I feel
really.
I like it's not groundbreaking IPA.
Well,
it's,
especially with how many breweries in Richmond are doing IPAs right now or ever.
That's the thing to do. It's the thing to do is that, all IPAs.
I have definitely strong feelings about one particular brewery that almost only does IPAs and how much they suck and how much nobody is mentioning how much they suck.
Wait, is it one that's something that you wear on your wedding day?
God damn it.
It rhymes with the whale.
Yeah. We're on the same page, buddy.
Yeah. No, nothing.
It's not a hard, this is a great intro IPA for somebody, especially. Like, it's not offensive.
Yes, all real, that's actually a better.
You know, in all realness, it is solid. It's just, I am a bougie bitch. And I admit that, and so that's where my opinion comes from. But a factual opinion, is this is a solid drink. This is a solid drinkable.
It's
IPA.
Sessionable.
It's a sessionable IPA. Yeah. It really is. All jokes aside, it's a sessionable IPA.
And those that do like the whale, that's a personal fucking opinion.
This motherfucker.
Oh, man.
and that's what I fucking love about both, like, the conversation about this movie that we're going into and also beer in general is that everybody's tastes are very different. There's people that are like, the first Suicide Squad was way better than this one. And I'm like, you're an insane person.
Yeah, I don't understand you.
I am so fascinated by these Snyder Cut people who review bombed it at first and think that somehow there should have been an extension of the original movie. The original movie's a chore to watch.
It's a chore.
Horrible.
I'm confused by the people that fucking hate this movie. Like, you know, I've seen a few posts and like, oh, what was that? I'm like, did you not see the same? Did you accidentally watch the first movie and didn't realize? Because this one is legit.
I mean, in case you were confused, look a little closer. It says 2021. Yeah. So, like, if you were confused on HBO, the original says 2016. Or 17.
But they might respond with, oh, the one with Harley Quinn. You're like, God damn it. No.
But like, this one actually says, when you go on HBO, because I like I said, I started watching it yesterday, it 2021.
Yep.
Like, you're watching the right one.
Watching this one was a weird experience for me because it has problems, but the pieces are so much greater than the problems in this one that it's absolutely delightful.
Oh,
It just plays like an independent movie, in my opinion. It does not play like a big studio blockbuster because the dialogue, the
beats.
That's
a really good point.
How, like, it goes through. I said it's like Scott Pilgrim meets The Boys meets Super is the best way I could put it.
What it doesn't have is Harley Quinn breaking the window of a fucking fashion shop to get a purse and going, we're bad guys, that's what we do. Diminishing her character to a level of a fucking shoplifter.
But what it does have is as soon as she spends a whole day with this, like, the most powerful person in this particular country where they're trying to find starfish alien.
Murders?
She fucking...
The not, shit!
No, not only does she spends a day with him, she gets that dick and then she murders him. No, she gets her rocks off.
Yes.
Then she murders
him. And that's why I'm so on board with the fucking empowered post-Joker, fucking batshit insane Harley Quinn. This is the best.
That's Harley Quinn to me.
That is the best.
Like, I've never agreed with Harley Quinn attached to Joker's hip. I've always dug Harley Quinn when she's been on her
own. Harley Quinn is too cool to be just a side note to Joker's character.
You mean a side bitch? They wanted to pawn her off in the first one as a side bitch.
The most interesting romantic relationship that Harley Quinn has ever had is with fucking Poison Ivy and not Joker.
Can we get that
in the movie, please?
Fuck yes.
They gave her a Punisher scene.
They did.
They gave her the Punisher
fucking jail hallway scene. Fuck yeah,
the only
did.
Difference is she's smiling and having a fucking ball where Frank Castle is just, I'm killing the fuck out of you. She's like, you're next. Oh, you over there. Like, she's having fun as she's murdering the fuck out of so many people.
So they even give him a similar intro. Like, when it happens in Daredevil season 2 when Frank's in jail and he has that hallway scene, there's a moment where Frank's like, it's a split second thing, but you see John Bernthal go like, all right, and we're just gonna go into it. There's that scene where, like, she's kind of like, it's kind of like cutie at first, and then when she kicks the door open, it's like, that was her moment where it was the same thing as Frank's face, like, here we go. And she just kicks the door open, and then from then on, she's just murdering motherfuckers. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and it's an absolutely great contrast with her prior outing, Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey, because her jailbreak in that was not nearly violent enough.
It was weak sauce.
It was great when she was shooting glitter everywhere, and then boring when it refused to kill any of the bikers.
Truth. I agree.
Well, and they were showing, like, she has the two machine guns, and she's nailing motherfuckers, but then they were like, no, she's going to do some fucking close quarter, hand-to-hand, with that spear, shit like that. And so just so you're not just like, oh,
jail door cell? Come on, dude. That was like almost to the point. That was gratuitous, but it was awesome.
But that's what I'm saying.
She's like, bang, bang,
bang. It didn't just basic her with fucking machine guns plowing down everybody. She's really like grabbing motherfuckers, slamming their heads in, fucking stabbing them with the spear.
With the fucking, when she ripped a part of her dress to make like a fucking choke.
That was fucking awesome.
And then the dude slit the dude's throat with his own hand. That was gorgeous.
This is the Harley Quinn, man. In my opinion, I've been waiting for to see this movie and that scene specifically, because you're like, so she's just kind of crazy and that she's on this team.
No.
That scene right there said, this is why she's on that fucking team. Just fucking took out 30 motherfuckers.
I will say, the whole movie obviously is aggrandized, but there's one scene where it's just like, hey, come on. And it was with Harley. It's when she first... does her plan of passing out and people leave, and she fucking leg locks the dude around the throat. I'm like, okay, that's believable.
Yep.
Enough. You know, obviously that's something that legit can happen. When she picks herself up with the extra body weight, I'm like, no. This femme is not that strong.
No, but that being said, that was still an incredibly cool choice as far as, like, stylized.
No, stylized for the way she did it was awesome, but as far as for, like, giving depth, giving the oomph to her character to, like, not have her fall to the tropes of the typical, like, action male trope where it's like they could automatically have this subhuman strength. Like, let's face it, like, if we're trying to break away, you've got these the machismo that always brings
that,
this testosterone driven shit.
That's the hill. Like,
I'm not dying on it.
There's a moment when Starro's out there that she jumps like two fucking stories onto a fucking patio.
Yeah. That's Suicide Squad to me. This is no hill.
That was the one moment that she, for me, instilled any kind of superhuman abilities. She jumped 20 feet.
Yeah.
all the rest of them, her, like, wrecking dude with her thighs. No, I was still on board with that. Because
the setup was
it's way closer to reality.
Because my thing was that seeing the so far from the reality made sense for Suicide Squad because of Suicide Squad. Where that scene has seemed almost to, like, want to make it more of a reality-based scene until the flowers...
Die on this hill alongside you. The reason and the thing that you're narrowing in on is the fight choreography and the sequence that follows is on point. There are real moves that we can see used that occur all the time in the MMA ring. And so to have it open with a bit of a stretch that way, it was a little jarring.
You see where I'm going? It just started, like... wrong for the badassness that ensued from that scene.
Yes.
I mean, but if you want to break it down, she also was getting tased like a motherfucker, and no matter how badass you are, you don't wake up after getting tased that many times. So
You've already seen Harley in two movies where she's been fucked up. You're not playing it. You're playing what you've already set up.
We have magic nano guns that shoot unlimited bullets, and you're worried about whether or not her leg strength is going to be able to suffocate a man? Are you fucking kidding me?
I worry about what the fuck I want to worry about. Fuck you if you don't like it. I don't care.
You got to think she does so much fucking, man, that those legs are so strong.
I'm saying, I'll worry about what I want to worry about. You don't got to worry about it. That's where I'm at.
I understand the point. In GoldenEye, Xenia on a top doing the same thing.
That's why I was bringing that up.
Kind of heralded an era of ridiculousness in Bond. Again, that was an ultra-realistic post-Cold War Bond, and all of a sudden, this lady can strangle people with her legs.
That's the only way she killed people. Yeah. She killed, like, tons of people, and it's always, like, with her legs again.
Okay, on that note, we have a sequence on GUI that we got to do real quick. This is one that definitely kind of highlights how not involved in, like, the planning stages of stuff that Harley is. and you may have seen it even in the trailer, so there's enough that this short scene actually has all of us. So does anybody have a
Rick Flag?
You want to do Rick Flag? Any other personal choices? Rick Flag, Bloodsport, Harley Quinn, and
Bloodsport, I guess. Yeah,
and the Thinker. I'll be the Thinker. I don't give a shit.
You mean Capaldi?
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one's brought up Doctor Who with all you Doctor Who jizz
There's
fans
so
over here.
There's so much going on. We haven't even gotten to that part yet. That's the thing.
I think this is a good leap to that.
Yeah.
So,
fuck.
Now, Mike, do you want to be Harley Quinn?
I would be delighted to.
Okay, cool. And then I'm going to be the thinker, so.
Making a drunken scene.
A drunken scene.
Yes, yes.
Whenever you're ready.
Here's the deal. We fail the mission. You die.
We find out any information you've given us is false. You die.
We find out you have personalized license plates. You die.
What? Harley, no.
If you cough without covering your mouth.
Harley, although this isn't an open invitation for you to cough without covering your mouth.
I love that that scene was definitely written without any consideration about COVID, but it definitely
somehow also communicated.
I was thinking the same thing when I fucking watched it. I was like, wait, because I saw that part earlier today because that was the back half of the movie, and I'm like, wait a minute. No.
No, fuck that. I want a fucking COVID cut where it's just the entire movie, but everyone's wearing masks the entire time.
No.
Where the opposing army, everybody gets shot except for the dudes with the mask.
But yeah, let's get back into Suicide Squad. Holy fuck. The Thinker specifically. We mentioned that we haven't talked at any
Ego
level.
Who fans. Ego Who fans.
I'm a fucking ooh-wee-oo. I'm a Whovian. I am super fucking on board for Peter Capaldi. I think he got bad writing. It wasn't his fault that his doctor wasn't the best.
Wait, so his doctor run wasn't good? I thought his doctor run was supposed to be awesome.
He was great. The writing was really...
You stretch a few things have guitars and glass sunglasses.
Yeah, it was him and the doctor that followed him, the first female doctor.
Yeah.
They both suffered from the same issue. And that's why it's not that you can't have a female doctor. Literally, Capaldi was dealing with the same thing, which is lazy fucking writing.
Stephen Moffat left, right?
Like Moffat left, yeah. And so the writing's been bad. Capaldi literally wrote a... fucking fan letter to Doctor Who when he was a child about how much he loved Doctor Who.
Oh, the original.
Like the original run. Yeah. Like he's been obsessed with Doctor Who since he was a fucking like infant. And so him being realized as one of the doctors was one of the greatest moments of his life. And then he gets lazy fucking writing.
You remember when they give you the little Easter egg in World War Z that he was going to be the
doctor. The WHO
doctor was like, hey, and here, and also the next Doctor Who's in the what the fuck.
Yeah. But I think Capaldi, he didn't get enough screen time in my opinion for Suicide Squad. He didn't get his moments
weird.
To be able
I was
to,
waiting for
him to just diatribe. I wanted one Capaldi diatribe.
Yeah, I think it was just a consequence of a movie being overstuffed, but he felt like a very weak one-note villain, and this is a continuous problem with the DC movies and their universe.
Yeah, fair.
I also could think, though, it could be Gunn, who was just like, let's introduce you, let's wait till he's going to be this big, oh, no, wait, no, the thing that he, you know, was taking care of fucking murders him. Like, it's that more of Gunn, wink, wink.
Well, so that because he wasn't taking care of me, like, you heard on the way in where he's like, he's kept us here for 30 years, that fucking creature is not looking at him as a caretaker. That fucking creature's like, motherfucker, you're the reason I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that the reason he was quiet so long throughout the movie was because, in his mind, he knew the creature would take care of the Suicide Squad.
Sure.
And he was like, I don't have to say anything because they're just going to die. And then when it kind of started to go sideways, you do get, I feel like that minute, like it's definitely a reduced version of a diatribe of like, you think your Americans are so, like he does go off, you know?
But I feel that scene was definitely cut in editing. I guarantee that Gunn's got to be Whovian. There's no way he's not a Whovian.
Come on.
Like, he's such a fucking nerd.
Look at you putting shit on people.
Look at him. He looks like a fucking Whovian.
Or Ildris.
I'm just with you.
But that being said, is that he definitely, Capaldi has so much fucking, like, huevos when it comes to, like, genre stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That there's no way James Gunn didn't just let him go for a minute. So there's got to be some... I'm buying this on Blu-ray. I'm buying the fuck out of it.
Fuck
There's
got
to be an extended cut of him just going hard.
I would hope so, because otherwise his character felt like it was letting his prosthetics do the acting for him.
Yes.
All we got was 100% weird looks and all this shit sticking out of his head.
That was actually annoying for his character.
Yeah, it was.
Fucking hated that shit sticking out. It was so fucking annoying.
And, like, they're all in disguises in the strip club, and then this motherfucker comes in with shit all over his head. Like, you know, like, you're trying to hide being a superhero, except this dude completely embraces it. Like, it was weird to, like, treat
it like that.
It's like
if you're at a goth club and a dude shows up with literal computer boards, like, into his jacket, and you're like, you're trying way too hard, dude. Yeah.
Like, we just know he goes to the strip club. Like, what heavy intel did you
get?
Yes,
the
dude with all the shit on his head.
You're into frontline assembly. Calm down.
It's not that big a deal. Fun.
No, yeah. Agreed. Yeah. But that being said,
but there's just things throughout the movie that, you're building up your expectations, and James Gunn just throws you off. Like, the rescue of Harley, where literally. God damn
that
it.
Was so good.
You got Bloodsport with the helmet on and a fucking wife beater and boxers going up there, and that was already ridiculous. And then the conversation just keeps going.
So one thing about that is I love the actors like leaned into that, because like when you see them, when she breaks out and she has the epic scene, and then she gets out and she sees Bloodsport look around
the
corner, like. He just when her and Rick like run across the street, they're like just that shoulder up, like
it was so goofy. Yeah,
like dude, no, everybody that sees you realizes that something's fucking weird because you do not look normal. But
he's got the helmet on.
On another note, I love how they there's times where Gunn leaned into certain things, like towards the end scene when Peacemaker's getting ready to kill Ratatouille, because I love when they called her that. That was awesome.
Yes. Fuck it.
I fucking ate that shit up, dude. I ate that shit up.
So good.
And when he's getting ready to shoot her, it pans out, you know, it says 8 minutes earlier, you know, and at the end of that 8 minutes, you see fucking Bloodlust. He has fallen through every floor on this concrete platform. If that's not fucking ridiculous insanity, like, I give zero fucks. Like, his knees would be done, his ankles would be done, his hips would probably have been shattered at that point. And it was awesome.
There's a number of ways this movie wouldn't have worked. If you didn't have Ratcatcher 2 being the heart of the movie, where she saw good in the characters that didn't seem to have good in their own way, the dumb fun King Shark version that they did with fucking Stallone as the voice, which was amazing.
Yeah.
But that you gave him heart because you saw it through her eyes. But on the same end, you've got Bloodsport and Peacemaker competing, going through the rebel.
To the very end where he's like, how? Smaller bullets.
Going through the rebel base and showing off how to kill people, where literally, like, I think Bloodsport knocks a fan into a bathtub.
Oh, yeah.
And Peacemaker shoots a guy behind his back.
Without looking
and
like, shit.
Nope, not lethal. It doesn't count. And he's like, fucking exploding round. like, they even mentioned earlier on that you've got two people that are basically the same version of, and then just that smaller rounds mentioned at the end of it as a final, like, fuck you was perfect.
Yeah.
And that's
so good.
None of the characters should have worked, but because of James Gunn, the way they played off of each other made it all work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is the important salient point. The movie works despite all of its narrative shortcomings, weird little failings. I felt like Harley was sidelined for too much, but I didn't care because of we got to watch the kill competition in the village. Peter Capaldi was done dirty by being one note and having a nonsensical villain speech. But guess what? Then they got to fight Patrick Starr on steroids.
And then your third act is, again, turns into a kaiju slash zombie sort movie where everybody that's being controlled, like, okay, I was already digging the shit out of it, and I was like, there, you just went that extra step.
I want to know whose mom it was that delivered the line, this island is mine, because she's not an actress at all. She's clearly somebody that was like somebody's, it might be James Gunn's mom that came on, and they're like, we put a starfish on your face, and then you deliver like one of the most important lines from that character is, this island is mine. The fucking cadence that she's delivering it is not from somebody that's been in acting before.
No.
Ever.
The fact that he pulled out Starro, who first appears
Starro!
Of Justice League, and back in like the 60s, where you have the most bonkers ass supervillains.
Yeah.
He pulled him out, and I thought, okay, you're going to have him in the background. He's going to have his minions. but you have him walking. And I lost my shit.
Especially when he turned and just, there wasn't an actual legs. Like, all of them are legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would just turn. It would just go to another leg.
It was so creepy. Goddamn ridiculous looking.
I will say that I think some great cadence to James Gunn with this, that one line he threw in right before he died and rolled over was 100, like, I was happy floating in the sky, staring at the stars. Like, he didn't want this. Humanity created this. And that line, I felt so fucking bad. Because, right, they caught him just floating out in space. Leave him the fuck alone, man.
It's part of the reason why Marvel's been so successful is that the heroes actually create the villains half of the time.
Truth.
You've got Ultron, you've got Loki, that they create the villains. That's an important part, is that, like, Starro wasn't a villain. Starro was a little tiny space starfish before we fucked with them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And made them fucked up and terrible and huge. We are the villains. And to really have that as the back conversation of this is that,
like, the last line he says, it was so like, fuck, man.
The real villains of this is the one running fucking Suicide Squad, which I love that her cohorts find the line before she does.
That's a huge difference between that movie that we won't talk about and this one too, is that She's this office atmosphere where literally the first time we see people working in her department, they are fucking betting on who's going to last the longest.
And I will always sign up for a movie with Steve Agee. Yeah. Like, I'm such a fan. I love him so much. So I love that. He also did mocap for some of this as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
But just setting that atmosphere made it so much less serious. Like, you know, just them betting on people dying, and at the end them fucking stepping in and being like, okay, I know what we did was fucking evil, but maybe let's give them a chance. All right, because I mean, the whole kind of villain of the fucking movie is
Waller.
Waller, man.
Waller
was like, I don't care about destroying it, let it crush this island.
It's like, just our get the information
that connects the U.S. government to this.
Yeah, you see her fully losing her shit, where she is so lousy with power that she is just like, you motherfuckers!
She's like, flipping everybody on, like, I will blow, like, I will all your fucking murder heads.
All of you. And that's the line where it was like, no, they actually want to save people's life. Like, what is actually important here? Like, they already did your job, and now they're looking to do more cool shit? That's why you're going
to
kill them?
Waller's job is never to save people. It was to save the face of the government. So
that, and I love that is so much more important on this version of it than the original Suicide Squad, that Waller was like a means to an end kind of character. This version of Waller, same actress, is a monster.
Yeah.
Is clearly a monster.
She doesn't even react to fucking, what's his name, drowning?
A weasel.
Weasel drowning. Yeah. She's like, oh, I guess he doesn't swim.
Yeah, and it should be pointed out that she's an absolutely masterfully captured character in one line, one scene. When she's having anxiety over playing golf with a senator, you recognize the ability and extent of her power and her ego all at once.
Yeah,
she is just a little cog in a very big machine.
Like, she's like, fuck, I gotta play golf with the senator tomorrow. And she's missing the cup. She is so stressed about that shit.
I want to give a shout out to our listener, Yvonne, that mentioned that her favorite character of the Suicide Squad's favorite squad member was Weasel, which is one of the few characters that actually technically survived. That and TDK technically didn't die. The last thing that we saw on the screen was that he's critical. He is still technically in play.
I was gonna say, how much does his arms actually can, like, is like when you shoot his arms up, that hurts, but it doesn't fucking kill you.
His arms are done for sure. So I really hope that you come back with like fucking metal arms that he's able to control. And
God damn it.
TDK2, and then he immediately gets fucked with again. Like, that you just have Nathan Fillion as a running joke on these movies.
Yeah, James Gunn delivers the anthropomorphic cuteness. I watched it with a couple of girls who had tears in their eyes when Weasel was struggling on the beach And every time
he murdered 27 children.
Yeah, but he's got goofy googly eyes. They love him. Same deal with the shark. When he puts his hands over his eyes, they're like, I can't watch it. Please turn it off.
Thing that's fucked, they actually gave Weasel the same color eyes as Sean Gunn, who did the mocap for it. So it's Sean Gunn's
buggy eyes, Sean Gunn.
Blues, baby blues staring back at you. It's the same
and,
exact tone.
I would say that I don't know what they plan on doing with that first post-credit scene where Weasel's alive. So that's weird.
I don't think they need to do anything with it. There's just a weird Weasel that murders children that's out in
the
world now.
I think maybe it's just one of those, like, he's technically the first Suicide Squad member to die at the beginning of the movie, and he fucking ends up alive at the end, you know?
Yeah, the animals are so cute in this. It's just about selling the merch. People are going to buy Sebastian toys, too.
Mm. I do love the fact that...
Oh, fuck yeah. I am.
Bloodsport used literally that information, that their whole mission. He's like, I got that shit. We're free. You do anything, then everybody's going to find out that shit. And he literally, he used that as a bargaining chip. So I thought that was pretty fucking awesome.
That's why I said earlier where, like, you know, if it came to a ruler of a country, so he's going with America, would say president, do you want, I think we need more Bloodsport and versus Peacemaker, because Bloodsport's like, he even looks over at Harley. Was like, you can't have it all. You got to find that medium.
Yep.
His medium is like, motherfucker. And I think that's what we need, is somebody who can actually work towards a medium.
What is going to happen in this Peacemaker movie show? I am so...
Well, it might be a prequel first.
One of the greatest things that's come from the Suicide Squad movie is the fact that apparently James Gunn and John Cena have become like the bestest of friends.
They're so close.
They adore each other. They're super on board of being like the greatest of bestest of friends ever. James Gunn beams about how much he adores John Cena. So like, I feel bad for Michael Rooker, because that was like the last one.
That's his go-to. Like,
Michael Rooker, I love Michael Rooker so much. He's a batshit crazy insane person, but I love him so much. And now John Cena is coming in. I worry that maybe Michael Rooker might murder John Cena.
Oh, man.
No.
GY.
There's going to be only one! And just, like, murders him.
No, but I think we'll see Michael Rooker show up in plenty of James Gunn properties.
But the plus side is that if there is a Peacemaker series that's happening, which there is, James Gunn is so comfortable with the main character that they're going to have so much fun doing that. It's going to be good.
It's going to be good, yeah.
It's going to be good. So I want to hear what you think about Suicide Squad. We have talked at length for a while at this point about our feelings on it. I want to hear your favorite characters, things we missed, moments we missed on this episode, and continue the conversation. You can do that by hitting up GUIpodcast.com, finding our social media links, joining us on that conversation. Most of us are like administrators on our social media. So if you want to have a one-on-one conversation with us, you can literally do that just by following us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. That's it.
Other media sources.
I've got a TikTok, but I'm not actually incorporating any of the GUI
shit. You don't want to have conversations going on through video back and forth?
All TikTok is me is just do like lip sync battles with fucking stitch-ins and shit. Like, I'm just doing dumb shit.
We need to do some full GUI TikToks.
Yeah, that needs to happen. But definitely do that. Check out the other shows on the network. Check out the previous episodes that you have missed. And we'll find you next time for another episode. I'm Mike the Hobbit. And join us or die.
Num num, Hobbit, shut up.
Join us or die. Join us or die. Or I will swallow your soul.
GUIpodcast.com.
Num num.
Num nums.
Num nums.
Num nums.